last Sunday night, we started a series on gender confusion. Our culture without Christ, our society without Christ, is definitely confused about genders and how many, and the roles of those genders. I talked with a man this past week and goes to church. And we were having breakfast together, and I told him what I was preaching on. He said, well, his daughter is a school teacher, and she says that they're taught that there's two sexes, male and female, but there's many genders. You know, and mine just got deflated. But I showed, at least I talked to him. Maybe he'll influence her. What about gender and marriage? Last week we looked at gender and creation, male and female. But why did God create male and female? Well, marriage. And then why marriage? So they could populate the earth. And we'll look at that, gender and procreation, next week. And we're looking back at the Word of God, and like Brother John said in his prayer, we know these truths, but we need to galvanize them in our hearts, that we'll be ready to give a reason for the season, a reason for the hope that's in us. We know that Satan desires to pervert God's created order and the roles for men and women. Those are given in the scriptures. And he desires to pervert and deny the Word of God, subvert God's creation for both man and woman and their ordained roles and functions within society and within the family and within the church. But God has revealed his design in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2. So last week we looked at gender and creation. Tonight, gender and marriage. Next week, gender and procreation. And then gender and the sin of homosexuality. Now, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 2 tonight, where we see God's design in marriage. The first marriage took place right here, and we see what God intends for marriage, and that's to be between one man and one woman, a monogamous relationship for a lifetime. And we don't wear out our spouses. I run across a lot of people that say, well, she no longer meets my needs, or we both have grown, and we've grown to the point that I need another spouse, you know, to meet my needs and things like that. You can hear all kind of hogwash out there about marriage. Now, what can we learn from our text tonight about God's intention in two genders, male and female? Genesis chapter 2, I won't ask you to stand tonight. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate for him. And out of the ground of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And so whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, all the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. He didn't need no sutures, amen? He closed it on up. In fact, it was divine y'all hold on the internet just a minute. Anesthesia, yeah, divine anesthesia. When I was writing my notes, I put divine omsambia or something like that. I don't know what I wrote, but y'all done caused me to lose my place. What verse was I in? And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked because of sin, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. That's the way it is without Christ, ain't it? Father, I pray tonight you teach us from this text things that we might not have known about this very basic text that we uphold as the biblical marriage. So teach us from your word tonight. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Now I want you to notice, first of all, man's isolation in verses 18 and 20. In verse 18, God said it's not good that man be alone. It was not God's plan for man to live alone, in isolation, when every other creature had a mate, had a corresponding mate. And it's possible that it possibly could be that God paraded, I'm not saying this because for sure because it's not in Scripture, but it could possibly be that God paraded the creatures before Adam for him to name them to see that his dependence was totally on God and to see that he did not have a corresponding mate to meet his needs. God could make him a helper, would make him a helper, a helpmeet. And we're talking about the word is talking about a suitable companion for man, and that which will be counterpart or opposite of him for the purpose of procreation. It would be fully adequate, meet his needs, be complete, and it would be fitting. The two would complement each other. That's what it means, a helpmeet. Not a doormat, right? But a helpmeet for him. Now, I want to pose a question to you, a rhetorical question. We don't need to answer it. Is a suitable companion for man? Is it one of the other creatures? No. Adam saw that wasn't going to work, right? Is it another man? No, right? I mean, these are very, very basic issues we're talking about tonight. They were not corresponding to each other. In verses 19 and 20, notice his examination and naming of these animals. Look in verses 19 and 20. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Everything God had created was good, right? And Adam gave names to all the cattle, the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. It became quite obvious to Adam. He says, wow, I ain't got nothing I can date or even marry, right? Something is not right here. They were not suitable. They were not compatible. Every other creation had a male and a female corresponding part. But there was not found a helpmeet for him. Why? Because they were not suitable for him. So we see man's isolation. Then in verse 21 and 23, we see God's provision. Note what God did. And let's begin to read in verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto man. He brought her unto man. And Adam says, wow, right? Adam says, this is now bone of my bones. These other creatures are not bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. In verse 21 and 22, we see divine surgery in a divine creation. God made woman out of his rib. He fashioned and formed woman out of the rib of Adam. She came from his side. Verse 23, we see that Adam's reaction. These are the first recorded words of man in Genesis, right here. He says, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Now, I hope you're not here and believe in the theory of evolution. Because as you look at this text, Adam spoke, right? This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. He didn't have to learn to speak, right? Many Bible scholars believe Adam could have appeared to be 30 years old when God created him. We don't know. That's just hypothetical. But he didn't have to learn to speak, or he didn't talk caveman language, right? He didn't walk around with a stick dragging a woman by the head of the hair, right? You see how easy, when you go back to Genesis, it all comes clear? He was able to speak right off the bat. Adam immediately realized that the woman was suitable companion, comparable to him. She would complement him fully, and complete what he lacked. And she came out of the side, yet she was different. This is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And he called her woman because she was taken out of man. Woman in the Hebrew is a feminine word that deals with the male. In the Hebrew language, it's the word for man, but woman is the feminine gender of that word. She's woman, okay? Then not only that, we see God's intention in verse 24. Why did he create male and female? Why did he create the woman who is later named Eve, the mother of all living? Why did he create them? Why? There was a purpose. And we'll see that next week, that they would procreate. But what was God's intention? Look in verse 24 and 25. Biblical marriage. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother. Now, we know there was no father and mother at that time, right? But he's given the teaching for us today. Man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. What we see here is God's intention, and he gives us a threefold intention here in verse 24 for the man and the woman. Marriage, biblical marriage, is a divine institution, not created by man. Although man has certain laws about it and things like that, we're going to talk about some of that in a minute. But it is God who brought the man and the woman together, biblical marriage. And this is why you see the hounds of hell unleashed here in the last few weeks on Brett Kavanaugh, because he believes in biblical marriage. And let me remind you, when we go to the polls, how we vote. No man's perfect, right? President Trump is not perfect. If I ran for president, man, I'd hate to stand before a Senate committee, you know? Number one, do they believe in biblical marriage? Number two, do they believe in pro-life? Do they believe that marriage is between a man and a woman? Are they a friend of Israel, right? What's more, John, we were talking about? Do they believe in national defense? Do they believe in national security? Do they believe in national sovereignty? And we know the ones we've had here before didn't, right? Do they believe in the freedom of religion? I just praise God that he gave us at least four more years, because if the other one had been elected, we would be sitting here tonight quite different. So no man is perfect, but when you go to vote, you look at those issues that are key to Christians. And it's beyond me. It just escapes me. It boggles my mind that people can call themselves Christian and vote opposite of everything else I just told you and call themselves a Christian. I don't understand. But he gives us here threefold intent in creating man and woman, male and female. Notice verse 24. First of all, he shall leave his father and mother. In verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. There would be a separation to form a new family unit. Okay? The word leave is a strong Hebrew word which means abandon or forsake. The man shifts his loyalty to his spouse. Yes, he still loves his mother and father and takes care of those, right? Those teachings are in Scripture. But there is a separation. The allegiance now belongs to the spouse. And not that you don't take care of your parents. The Bible tells us that. But in my early marriage, I was guilty of all that. I loved to do a lot of other things, and I put those things ahead of my wife. And she's not going to say amen because she knows those are true. But those things have changed. But the words here speak of a lifetime monogamous marriage. And it also speaks of a relationship between Christ and his church, right? What God has joined together. Now, y'all follow me here a minute. He says, what God has joined together, let not man separate. And just as Christ is joined to the church, and we are in Christ and we are joined together. I'm glad that's an inseparable union that we cannot be separated from, right? And so it goes on like that. So he should leave his father and mother. And y'all get what I'm trying to tell you tonight? Your spouse comes first. Secondly, he says in verse 24, cleave unto his wife. The word cleave means hold fast, or it's a strong personal attachment, and devotion or to join. This is the first marriage. God joined Adam and Eve in the first biblical marriage. But it also used of Israel. Brother Larry mentioned this in our prayer time. It speaks, this word cleave speaks of the commitment that Israel was to have toward the Lord their God. And they didn't. And he, just like us, he hasn't forsaken them. They're going to be grafted back in just like us. You know, we can sin. That's not going to break our relationship. If we're still true, it'll break our fellowship. But God is going to restore Israel, and he can restore us if we ask him to forgive us, right? So cleave unto his wife. It doesn't mean you can't have interests and desires, and you have to watch the same TV channel she watched. I'm glad I ain't got to watch Home and Garden TV Network, you know? Wow. I mean, I'd go crazy. I mean, she's glad she don't have to watch ball games, right? But it speaks of cleaving, holding fast, joining. And then thirdly, the third intention here in male and female is found in the latter part of verse 25. Verse 24, he says, and they shall be one flesh. The one flesh relationship is the result of leaving and cleaving. One flesh. It speaks, what it really technically speaks of is unity in a sexual union. The wedding, the marriage is consummated. And that's what it's talking about. And it goes beyond that, speak of mutual dependence and being a helpmeet in all areas of life. Speaking of oneness and intimacy, and marriage is permanent. And after you live with somebody a long time, you begin to think alike, I'll look at Faye and I'll say, are you thinking about the same thing I am? And shockingly, she'll say yes, you know? And we know where each other's at, right? And it's just like I see people walking their dog, and they've had their dog a long time, and after a while, they begin to look like their dog, you know? I mean, you know, if you look at it, right? And the dog is out there walking the owner, right? That was just a little side bit there. I bet y'all didn't know that. What is the point of all this? The point is, it is impossible for a same-sex union to accomplish all this command, right? And that's what we're doing. We're combating the genders. It's impossible for them to be a helpmeet to the other one. Matthew chapter 19, verse 4 and 6, look what Jesus said. And he answered, said to them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. I've actually heard of pastors, and I've heard other pastors do weddings, and they change those words. I'll stay with you as long as I love you, or something like that. And I've had people wanting me to change things, and I said, well, you best find somebody else to marry you. I'm not going to compromise biblical convictions. So what have we learned? Well, number one, we have learned that marriage is between a man and a woman, male and female. Of course, you say, well, Brother Ken, they don't believe the Bible, so they're not going to believe that anyway, right? But it cements and concretes it in your heart. Number two, in the eyes of God, now y'all listen to me closely, there is no such thing as common law marriage. You know, I've talked to people and they say, oh, well, they married together for 7 years, common law marriage, not in the eyes of God. Not in the eyes of God. And there definitely is not no such thing as same-sex marriage. And pray for our nation. As Brother Ray iterated my thoughts this morning in Sunday school, we're asking God to do something that is against his character, to bless our nation when we kill 60 million babies and we license gay marriage. What do you think God is thinking about us when we say, God, please bless America? He's saying, I can't because of these two things. There must be repentance. Right? Y'all believe that, church? So we're just whistling Dixie if we're asking God to do something that's contrary to his nature. And I believe his hand is off of us. I believe we're in Romans 1. I believe we're in the process of being turned over. And can it change? Yes, if there's repentance, it can change. But not unless there's repentance. Now, next week, we're going to look at gender and procreation, Genesis 1:28. And then after that, we'll look at gender and homosexuality. If same-sex marriage is not biblical, we know that the sin of homosexuality is not biblical as well, right? And again, I appreciate you bringing your children. I appreciate my grandchildren being here tonight. I appreciate y'all being here. Y'all need to know these things because if you ever hit the colleges, they're going to brainwash you to death. And they're going to take the truth out of your mind. And we pray that it's embedded in there, that you will not sway from what the Bible says about these issues. No invitation tonight. Let's all stand, if you will. Let's all stand. And Brother John, we appreciate you being with us, and look forward to you being back with us in a couple of weeks. Can you close us out tonight?